just for moms out there. This is for stepmoms, adopted moms, and every other kind of mom there is out there, because any woman can be a mother, but it takes a real woman to be a mom. Amen? All right, so the title for my message today was basically, how much are moms worth? And the answer to that is, they're priceless. Moms are priceless. So we've come together this morning for two primary reasons. One is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with our worship, right? And the other is to honor mothers. Both are a lifetime task, neither of which can be confined to 1 hour of a worship service. You know, I really struggled this week putting together a Mother's Day sermon, as I always do, because I don't think or imagine that anything has ever been said or ever will be said that is eloquent enough or expressive enough to articulate the true value of a mom. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for each and every person here today, but I especially like to lift up moms to you today for their sacrifices, for their hard work and dedication to raising up us as children to adults and beyond. The Lord, I ask a special blessing upon the moms, and I just ask that you continue to work out in their lives the things that they need in order to continue to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you, empty out our hearts and minds to the message you have for us today, and may you receive all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. One of my favorite columns is by a lady named Irma Bombeck. How many people remember Irma Bombeck? All right. She says that on the day that God created mothers, he had already worked a lot of overtime. And an angel said to him, Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this model. And the Lord turned and said, have you read the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not made out of plastic. She has to have 180 moving parts, and all of them replaceable. She has to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She has to have a lap that will disappear whenever she stands up. She is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she's supposed to have 6 pairs of hands. 6 pairs of hands, says the angel. That's impossible. That's not the 6 pairs of hands that bothers me, said the Lord. It's the 3 pairs of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, what are you kids doing in there? She already knows the answer to what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things that she's not supposed to see, but must see. And she has 1 pair right in the front that can look at a child who just goofed up and communicate love and understanding without saying a single word. That's too much, said the angel. You can't put that much in one model. Why don't you rest for a while, Lord, and resume your creation tomorrow? No, I can't, said the Lord. I'm close to creating something that is very special. We've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower. The angel looked at the model of motherhood more closely and said, she's too soft. Oh, but she's tough, said the Lord. You'd be surprised how much this mother can do. Can she think? Asked the angel. Not only can she think, said the Lord, but she can reason, compromise, and persuade. Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. And he said, this one has a leak, he said. I told you you couldn't put that much into one model. The Lord said, that's not a leak. That's a tear. What's the tear for? Asked the angel. Well, it's for joy and sadness, for sorrow and disappointment, but also for pride. And the angel said, you're a genius. And the Lord said, oh, I didn't put that there. You see, moms are pretty special people. And who better to talk about how special they are than their own children? Here's some children when they're talking about Mother's Day. Listen to what some of them wrote to their mothers for Mother's Day. Angie, age 8, wrote, Dear Mother, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn. Robert wrote, I got a turtle for you on Mother's Day. I hope you like it better than the snake I got you last year. Eileen wrote, Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday so we wouldn't have to go to school. Little Diane wrote, I hope you like the flowers I got you for Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mrs. Smith wasn't looking. How about this one from Carol? Dear Mother, here are two aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day. Now, moms are pretty amazing. They're people, they're teachers, they're disciplinarians, they're cooks, they're gardeners. And as the video earlier showed, they're nurses, doctors, psychologists, policemen, counselors, detectives, chauffeurs, and of course, coaches. And years ago, I came across an illustration that I've never forgotten, and it's actually what provided the spark for the message today. A 12-year-old boy came into his mom with the list, and he said he had been doing some chores, some things around the house, and he was ready to get paid, you know, show me the money. And his mom took the piece of paper and read the following. Wash the dishes, $2. Mow the lawn, $10. Watch my little sister, $3. Wash the car, $5. Clean my room, $2. Bathe the dog, $3. Vacuum the house, $5. Clean the bathroom, $10. The next day, the boy found an envelope on his bed, and when he opened it, he found the $40 that he had been asking for with the following list from his mother. I carried you for 9 months, no charge. I sat up with you when you were sick, no charge. I doctored skin, knees, and elbows, no charge. I changed about 3,000 diapers, no charge. I drove you to soccer practice, no charge. The cook, 7,000 meals for you, no charge. I wiped away your tears when someone hurt you, no charge. I drove you to school when it was raining, no charge. Washed your clothes, no charge. Listen when you needed to talk, no charge. I think the little boy got the message. Moms are special and they do many things for their children, much of which goes unnoticed. And you know what? That mom was right in not putting a price on the things that she had done, because much of what a mother does is what? It's priceless. You can't put a price on it. What I want to do this morning is I want to take a look at a few snapshots of some mothers. Some are from the Bible. Most of them are from the Bible. Each snapshot of a mother illustrates one of the awesome things that moms do for their kids. Now, for each snapshot, I will include a reference scripture so that if you want to, you can dig into the story a little deeper on your own. But for brevity's sake, and I did say brevity's sake, I'm not going to go completely into them. So the first snapshot is of course, of Rizpah. Rizpah is a snapshot of a mom who unconditionally loved her children. Okay? It's out of 2 Samuel 21, 10 through 13. The one section out of what Bob read earlier, I want to focus on. How important is it for a child to know that he or she is loved by their mother unconditionally? It's pretty important, right? How important is it for them to know that no matter what they do, whether they get an A or a C, whether they clean their room or it's a pigsty, hit a home run or strike out with the bases loaded, whether they disobey or obey, that they still will be loved. No matter what our children do, they're loved. I think we all know the answer to those questions. A mother's unconditional love is a very important fact. It's priceless. Though you may never heard of Rizpah. Rizpah was, she demonstrates among the other qualities of motherhood, unconditional love. We meet her in 2 Samuel chapter 21. And Rizpah is one of King Saul's concubines. That's just a wife who didn't bring a dowry into the marriage in Old Testament times. And she had two sons by King Saul. And in 2 Samuel 21, we read about her two sons being sentenced to death by King David. because they had been involved in the murder of some innocent people. We're like, wow, sounds like that mom kind of dropped the ball a little bit. Well, mothers can't control the actions of their sons completely. They were executed along with Saul's other five other sons of Saul, and they were left in the open in a field to be devoured by birds and wild animals. Now, I'm sure they were not the sons that she had dreamed of, and it was certainly not the way she wanted their lives to end up. And it reminds me of an interview I saw years ago of John Hinckley's parents. That's the guy who shot President Reagan. She hated what he did, but she loved him and stood by him and visited him. And her only answer to that question was, he's my son. And even though Rizpah's two sons were executed as criminals, Rizpah still loved them. And in verse 10 of 2 Samuel, where you read, Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it out over a rock, out for herself on a rock. From the beginning of the harvest, that's in the fall, until the rain poured down from the heavens on the bodies 6 months later, she did not let the birds of the air touch them by day or the wild animals get to them by night. What love she had for her sons to live out in a field by some rocks, protecting the bodies of her sons for 6 months exposed in the open. The reason for that was so her sons didn't have to suffer any further humiliation. And notice that the mother of the five other men that were executed never showed up. Listen, that the love that Rizpah showed, remember that love is a verb, it's an action, it's doing something. It really leaves an impression on you when you think about how far this woman was go just to protect your son's bodies. I have not forgotten about what she did since the first time I heard this story at one of the Baptist churches that I went to. In fact, Rizpah was the inspiration behind the song by Richard Kipling, his poem entitled Mother of Mine. And here's a section. It says, if I were hanged on the highest hill, mother of mine, oh mother of mine, I know whose love would follow me still. Oh mother of mine, mother of mine. Moms give their children unconditional love. They're supposed to. I'm not saying that every mother is perfect, but real moms really do. The next snapshot is of Jochebed, and it's a snapshot of a mother's protection. A snapshot of a mom's protection. Jochebed's son was born at a time when the government had issued an order that all male babies were to be killed. You probably understand the time frame when I said this. Talk about a tough time to be a mom, right? Talk about a child needing a mother's protection. So in Hebrews, in the faith chapter, we hear in 11:23, Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. Of course, every mom thinks their child's special, right? And they were not afraid of the king's edict. They're willing to put their lives out there and say, well, we'll protect our child, but if we get caught, we're willing to die. Listen, Moses' mother protected her child from the society that was in which he was born, okay? A society that sought to literally destroy him. A mother's protection is a powerful thing. And mothers have a natural instinct to protect their young. And it seems like this is something that God has wired into his creation. A mother's instinct of protection goes beyond even human relationships. Perhaps you heard of the story a few years back when a baby fell into a cage that had orangutans and other animals in it. And how a mother orangutan picked up this baby and protected it from the other animals in the cage. And at about the same time in the news, there was a station in Tampa that carried a story of a cat who was raising four baby Rottweilers. Four baby Rottweilers, a cat. Do our children need to be protected today? That's a question. Do our kids need to be protected today? Are there dangers in our society that seek to harm our children? Listen, there's a war being fought for the soul of your children. And the music, the media, the motion pictures are just pawns in a big diabolical order, master plan of Satan to destroy our kids. Telling them that what's wrong is right, blinding them to the truth, that what they're seeking pleasure is destroying them. Understand our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And kids are pretty tasty. Question. How do you protect your kids from this world? How do you protect your kids in this world? First of all, open your eyes and figure out what's really going on. See what's behind what everybody's saying. Have a relationship with your kids. If you're not talking to them and they're not talking to you, then you have no idea what they're doing. Trust me, I was a teenager. Have a strong marriage. Have a strong marriage. Pray. Pray for your children. Pray for your family. Model Christ to them. Give them Christ. When they're that age where they can understand, give them Jesus Christ and show them what they need. Which leads me to our third snapshot of moms. And it's of a mom named Eunice. And it's a snapshot of a mom's direction. Eunice, a snapshot of mom's direction. Listen, Eunice demonstrates the truth that the greatest thing that a mom can do for her child is to lead them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, wrote, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which you first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it now lives in you also." 2 Timothy 1:5. Timothy's mom Eunice directed him to the most important thing in life, a relationship with God. Moms out there, there's nothing more important that you will ever do for your kids but to lead them to a real faith relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's so important, it's so much more important than clothes, toys, cars, sports, and other things. If you give your child Jesus, it'll stick with them for a lifetime. And that note, Paul says the key to Eunice doing this was that she had a real faith relationship with Christ. Moms, here's the question. Do you have a relationship that models Christ to your kids? It's hard to take your kids to where you're not. And if you're not modeling that faith-based relationship with Jesus Christ, they're not going to be able to see the path to walk it themselves. Four preachers, you know, were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version because of its beautiful English. Well, not so much. Another liked the New King James the best because it was closer to the original Hebrew and Greek. I like that one. Still another liked the New Living Translation because of its up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent a moment and he says, "I like my mother's translation the best." Surprised, the other men said they didn't know your mother translated the Bible. And he replied, "She translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation that I've ever seen." It's important we model Christianity, not just the religion part, but the relationship part to our children. The next snapshot, you may not even agree with me on this one, but of Mrs. Zebedee. Mrs. Zebedee is a snapshot of encouragement. Mrs. Zebedee, encouragement is a powerful tool. It helps us to keep going. It helps us when we want to quit and give up, to get up when we've fallen down, and to achieve dreams that we thought once were out of our reach. Mrs. Zebedee, the mother of James and John, two of the three inner circle of Jesus. And there was an encounter that she has with Jesus that she's well known for, a lot of times looked down upon because of it, that takes place shortly after Jesus does his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This mother comes up to Jesus, and she asked him if when he comes into his kingdom, if her sons can sit on his right and his left. Now, we usually dog Mrs. Zebedee for her bold request to Jesus. Now, notice that when you read this, Jesus doesn't deny it and say no. All he says was, it was not his to grant. So he wasn't picking on Mrs. Zebedee. He just said, that's not for me to decide. But I see a very positive quality in her request. A quality that more likely was a major characteristic of her relationship with her two sons. Listen, Mrs. Zebedee, no doubt, was an encouragement to her sons. She wanted the best for them. She didn't want them to just slide into the kingdom. Okay, get in by the skin of their teeth, to sit on the corner and watch everybody else do the work. This mother taught her boys that their place was not to be sitting on the benches, but rather playing on the field between the chalk lines. They were encouraged to be out in front, to be leaders. I have no doubt that throughout their whole life, when they were growing up into their teen years and as they met Jesus, that Mrs. Zebedee was right there on the sidelines cheering them on. You can do it, James. You can do it, John. Keep going. And as the saying goes, the proof is in the pudding, right? James and John excelled both in life and in the kingdom. They were not sideline disciples, but starters on the field. They, along with Peter, formed the inner three, the inner circle of three, Jesus' closest friends and confidants, and hardest workers. And look at what they did for the church. James was the first one of the disciples to give his life for the kingdom. The first martyr, if you would. John wrote five books of the Bible, and his gospel is the most translated book in the whole Bible. And John lived to be an old man, encouraging Christians to do what? Love one another. Sounds like he was a pretty smart guy, too. And he had a good name, John. I like that name. Moms, let's encourage our kids to do great things. The next snapshot is of the widow Zarephath. And it's a snapshot of a mother's provision. Okay? What would you do to provide for your kids? We meet this mom in 1 Kings chapter 17. And in chapter 17, we first see her gathering sticks so she can go home and prepare a meal for her son. And then a little while later, we see this mother when her son becomes ill and sick. We see her leaving and going to find the great prophet Elijah, who by the time that he got to the boy, he had to raise the boy from the dead. When her son needed food, she provided it for him. When her son needed supernatural intervention from God, she made sure she was there too. This mother went out and sought God's prophet. You know, if you were to take a snapshot of all the way that a mom provides for her children throughout the years, I can guarantee you that Kodak would not have enough film, and there wouldn't be enough photo albums or scrapbooks to hold all the photos of all the things that moms do for their kids. Listen, another mom's provision. Think about your mom or what your mom has done for you. And more often than not, that provision is always selfless. They don't ask for anything. See, a teacher was trying to teach her class about fractions. And after the lesson, she tested one of the boys who was in a large family. And she said, Johnny, she said, there are six people in your family. Your mom bakes a pie. And she cuts it up for you. What percentage of the pie will you get? And Johnny thought for a minute, and he said, 1/5. The teacher said, now remember, there's six people in your family. How big a piece of pie would you get? And again, the boy said, 1/5. The teacher said, no, you don't understand fractions. And Johnny respectfully said, you don't understand my mom. She would have said that she didn't want any, and there would have been five pieces. Moms are awesome. The next snapshot isn't out of the Bible. I got it when I was reading and studying up about the Jews during the concentration camps and some amazing stories that came out of those. And this is a snapshot of Mrs. Rosenberg, a snapshot of comfort. The picture of a mother comforting her child is always a beautiful picture, whether it's a baby just newborn and being held for the first time, or holding them close, or a mother doctoring and kissing a skinned knee after they fall off their bike while they're learning how to ride, right? A mother brushing away tears of a broken heart has always, to me, been a very powerful picture. When her child is hurt, when her child is afraid, when her child is in pain, a mom will go to great lengths to comfort her child. I recently came across what is to me one of the most powerful pictures of what a mom is willing to do in order to comfort her child. During World War II, Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you can work and do your job, God would give you, or they would give you, another day of life. So each day they would work, and they would come home, and they would give thanks to God for another day. And when you become too weak, and you're not able to work anymore, then you're exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and his father marched off to their deaths. And he knew that the next would be his youngest son, who was always frail and always weak, and his name was David. Because David had always been frail, always been weak and sickly. Every evening, Mr. Rosenberg would come back to the barracks after hours of labor and search for the faces of his family. And when he found them, they would huddle together, they would embrace one another, and they would thank God for another day of life. Now one day, Mr. Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping and praying. And he said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Joshua turned and said, "Yes, it's true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "So where's your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried." And Mom said, "There's nothing to be afraid of, David." And she took his hand and went with him. A mother's comfort goes to great lengths. And listen, when God created moms, he created something special. The things that moms do are priceless. How much are they worth? How much are they worth to you? How do you put a price tag on the things that your mother does for you? Mother's unconditional love or protection, their provision, their directing their child to a relationship with Jesus Christ, their encouragement, like the Zebedees, their comfort. You don't even try. Because some things like that are just priceless. Moms, and like Jesus. Because there's a scene in Matthew that took place about a week before Jesus was about to die that really kind of illustrates how the followers of Christ sometimes seem to put a price tag on Jesus. The pricelessness of the Son of God. Matthew 26, 6 through 13, and I'll read it to you. "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him carrying an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not always have. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. And surely I say unto you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her.'" A memorial. Do you see the The disciples are saying, sure, Jesus is valuable, but he's not worth a year's wages. Question, how much are the things that Jesus does for us worth? How much those things that Chrissy was talking about earlier, that peace, what is that worth to you? Let's look at some snapshots of the things that Jesus does for you and me. Snapshot number one, his unconditional love. God demonstrates his great love towards us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Do you see the impact and the power of those words? Listen, the cross was unconditional love at its finest hour. For his unconditional love, Jesus smiles and says, no charge. Snapshot number two is protection. The one who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. John 4:4. All honor to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live in a wonderful expectation because Jesus rose again from the dead and has reserved a priceless inheritance for us, his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in his mighty power, will protect you until you receive this salvation because you are willing to trust in him. 1 Peter 3:4-5. And that was the Phillips paraphrase version, by the way. If you have it in your Bible, you see the word protect in that last verse 5. The word protect, circle that. It's the Greek word for furio. Furio, which is a military term, which means to keep by guarding. Anybody in the military here, you all know what guard duty is, right? Firewatch, guard duty, all the same. It was used to describe the elite Roman guards or a Roman garrison. And this same word is used in Philippians 4:6-8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard, there's that word guard, and protect your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is greater than the one of this world. He can guard and he can protect us. And Jesus is protecting our priceless inheritance. Think about that. Jesus is guarding our inheritance until we meet him there, because we trust in him. And Jesus will, if we let him, protect your heart and your mind from anxiety, from worry. And for his protection, Jesus smiles and says, no charge. The next snapshot would be of Jesus' direction. Jesus' direction. Many people in this world, perhaps you know some. Perhaps you are one. Many are just wandering around aimlessly without any direction or purpose in their life. You hear these people say all the time, I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to find myself. Listen, Jesus gives us clear direction and a set purpose for our lives. And perhaps no one grasped this truth better or understood it more than the Apostle Paul, who wrote often about this new direction in Christ. Remember that in a race, everybody runs, but only one person gets the prize. You must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away or win a perishable crown which will fade, but we do it for an eternal prize or an eternal crown that will never fade. So I run straight to the goal with a purpose in every single one of my steps. 1 Corinthians 9:24-26, somewhere around in there. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, Paul says. I have not reached perfection, but I keep working towards that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. God's got a plan for your life. He loves you, and He's got a perfect plan for your life. You just need to figure out what it is and work towards it. Paul said, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all that I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven." Philippians 3, 12, 13, and 14. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me in a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but all who have longed for His appearing." 2 Timothy 4, 6, 7, and 8. "For clear is the direction, and set is the purpose in life that results in life and peace in Jesus Christ. Now an eternal joy is at the end." Eternal joy is at the end. And Jesus smiles and says, "No charge. It's free." Snapshot number 4 of Jesus' provision. "You used to be far from God. Your thoughts made you His enemies. And you did evil things. But His Son became a human and died. So God made peace with you, and now He lets you stand in His presence as people who are holy and faultless and innocent." This is for one of my Bible study people. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. The CEV version, Contemporary English Version. How many people have heard of that one? I had to look it up. "No temptation has seized you except for what is common to man. And God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." 1 Corinthians 10, 13. "And my God will always meet all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4, 19. "For providing a way for you to stand before God, holy, faultless, and innocent, by providing a way to overcome temptation, providing for all your needs according to His riches and glory," Jesus smiles and says, "No charge." The next snapshot is of His encouragement. Do you ever feel like God is encouraging you? Because I feel it all the time. Sometimes it's poke and poke, and sometimes it's whack with a 2x4, but it's still encouragement, right? Like I said earlier, encouragement is a powerful thing, and it helps us to keep going when we want to quit, to get up when we've fallen down, and achieve dreams that we once thought were out of our reach. Let the following words from God encourage you right now. "And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose." Romans 8, 28. "And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." 2 Corinthians 5, 17. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God." 1 Peter 2, 9. "How great is that love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are, dear friends. Now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we will know when He appears. And we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. His comfort. Read Romans. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Romans 8, 35 through 39. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. And we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And finally, we're going to wrap up this message. John 14, 1 through 6. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where do I go? You know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, you do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I don't know what all you folks have planned for today, but I know that I'm taking one of my favorite people out to lunch today, and her best friend, and we're going to go have lunch. So if you get a chance, do something nice for your mom, your wife, your mom, your grandmother, whoever it is, because wives, moms, grandmothers are priceless. They're priceless. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come together to celebrate moms. Celebrate the provision that moms give us. Celebrate the provisions that the Lord gives us. And through Jesus Christ, we are so blessed. And also, moms make this life that we are going through so much easier and so much better. We thank you for the moms here that have done all those things, protected and comforted and provided and led their children to a believing knowledge in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just ask you to put a special blessing on those moms out here today. Those listening online, those who are sitting here today, give them the blessing of knowing that besides Jesus Christ, they are modeling God's love to us through every action and every deed they do. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. All right. You would stay.